Well, I have to be honest with you. This is part two of a two-part sermon. And so I'm going to kind of cover a little bit of the material in the first part. We're going to talk about Job today. And we all know a little about Job, but do we really understand Job? And let's take a minute and ask the Lord to bless this time together. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. We just pray that you will work in our hearts and our lives to make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Job 1:1, there was a man on the earth of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camel and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now, counting oxen and sheep and camels and all that stuff is hard for us to understand, but he was a very wealthy man. And sometimes God uses circumstances to change our lives. God allowed Satan to destroy everything that Job had. His children were killed, his animals were killed or stolen. There was a number of things that happened that totally destroyed it. Back a number of years ago, about 6 years ago, I met this young pastor, and he asked me to give my testimony to him anyways, and so I told him about some of the things that I'd been through, and he said, you need to write a story about your life in parallel to Job. In the 90s, we owned a business, and we were growing at a horrendous rate, and life was good. We were able to do a lot of things. Debbie and I would go on mission trips. Matter of fact, that's how we came to Southern Utah. The first time in 1992, we came and brought a computer to a pastor to help him. And then we spent time teaching him how to use it. And it just so happened there was a big ice storm back in Michigan, so we missed all that. But it was a good time anyways. But God used our ministry in what we were in our business, but as a ministry as well, to help other people. And I got sick, and I went from working 80 hours a week and helping the church and doing all kinds of stuff to the point where I couldn't get out of bed without help, and I was in a wheelchair and spent 16 years in that wheelchair. And during that, the first 2 years of when I got sick and I finally got to the point where I could no longer even drive or go to work at all, then everything that we owned went away. Our business went away, our home went away, our cars went away, everything went away. And so that's what this pastor meant by our life in parallel to Job. And I have used this, we do workshops I actually teach people how to get better naturally from fibromyalgia, which is the disease that I suffer with. So we've helped a lot of people with that. And, you know, when I first got better, and, you know, I was always, we talked about this in Sunday school, but I was always taught, don't brag or don't talk about yourself because that's bragging or whatever. But this young pastor told me, he said, you know, people can learn a lot from your experience. Now, how many of us have heard about Job over the years and learned from that? First of all, God said that Job was an upright man, and he wanted to do what God wanted him to do, and God blessed him. And it was kind of the same way with us. Our business grew 30 to 50% a year, which was just phenomenal. And then in a very short period of time, it was all gone. And why? But God had a purpose, and God had a purpose in Job's life. When we read about Job, then he had some friends that came along, and at first they started out and they were going to comfort him. Okay, so they came in to comfort him, and they were praying for him and trying to comfort him because he'd lost his family and everything. And the next step, they started saying, okay, now, it was probably something you did. You probably sinned. You probably did something wrong that God did this to you. And they were not being comforting at that point. And I understand that. You know, it was really hard for people to understand my illness because it's not, I often said it would be easier if my leg rotted off. At least somebody could see that. I was in a wheelchair and everybody said, oh, well, you can't walk. Well, yes, I can walk, but if I walk 20 feet, I'm totally exhausted. Okay, and so I used a wheelchair. God used that experience with me. Job lost his family in a physical way, and I did in a lot of the same way. Much of our family just totally didn't understand and walked away. My parents, my brothers and sisters, my immediate family just totally walked away and really wanted nothing to do with us for a long time. And that was really, really hard. So I understand what Job went through by losing his family. He lost them physically, and I did too, because it has been close to 25 years, and I haven't spoke to my brothers and sisters because they won't talk to me. My illness was one back in the early days that they said was a mental illness. It wasn't a physical illness. Okay, now, I take comfort in the fact that MS was considered a mental illness at one time too, and people didn't understand that. But they do now. And it took a lot of years, even for my dad, and finally, my mother unfortunately was killed in a car accident, so we never did get to reconcile with her. But my dad finally met somebody that had fibromyalgia, and then he started to understand it a little bit. Unfortunately, the rest of my family hasn't. But you know what? My wife and my sons were always there. They knew that I didn't willfully go from working and running a business to going to bed and staying in bed all the time. They knew I didn't do that because I wanted to. It's because I didn't have a choice. The first part of this sermon set that I've used in the past, Debbie and I have gone and we do workshops where we go into a church and we spend a Friday night and then Saturday afternoon teaching people the mechanics of how to get better naturally from fibromyalgia. We're up in Ely, Nevada, Elko, Nevada, I'm sorry, Elko, Nevada, and the pastor said, I'd like you to, he told me in advance, but he said, I'd like you to speak on Sunday night. And so I used this, the first part of this sermon, to do that. And to Saturday night, we went out to dinner with the pastor and his wife, and I looked at him and I said, can I talk to your people like brothers and sisters? He said, yep. And we used that time to teach people in the church that even when somebody is sick and you don't understand it, how to treat them and how to not treat them. People in our own church didn't understand what was going on with me. And I didn't expect them to understand, don't get me wrong. But they didn't show the kind of love that I would expect out of a church. And a lot of times when people have an illness, whether it really is a mental illness or whether it's a physical illness that you can't see, you know, it doesn't mean that it's not there. And it doesn't mean that it's not real. Job had a body affliction Job always loved God. And in Job 1:22, it says, "In all this, Job sinned not, not charged God foolishly." He was not mad at God. People didn't understand when I got sick and all of our things that we had worked for went away. How can you stand it? How can you put up with it? God took everything away from you. Now, we all know what Job's wife said. Job's wife said, "Curse God and die." Well, that's not a good solution. And Job didn't do that. And I didn't do it either. I didn't understand what God was doing in our lives. But I never was mad at God. I was never upset at God for what he did. In Job 2:7, it says, "So when Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with boils from the soles of his feet to his crown." I think Don understands that a little bit today, what boils might be like. And I've had shingles too, so I understand what that's like. Okay? And so sometimes people aren't with us that we would expect to see in church, because Don comes whenever they're in town anyways. And yet we understand that when he doesn't feel well, he's not here. Job was afflicted physically as well. Again, his friends that had come to comfort him weren't much of a comfort. In my disease, your immune system goes wacky and you can't fight things off like other people can. And so a lot of weird things have happened to me and a lot of different things. And I've had a lot of surgeries and things going on and a lot of distress because of my health. Job 3:1 says, "After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day." He was upset for what happened to him, but he didn't blame God. When bad things happen to us, is it because God is mad at us and going to punish us? The Bible doesn't teach that. One of the friends said, "Job should repent." Another of his friends said, "You deserve worse." Another friend said, "Job does not fear God. It's his relationship with God that caused it all." And one of those men said, "God punishes the wicked." Well, I'm here to tell you that bad things happen to good people. In Job 42:1, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do anything, everything, and that no thought can be withholding from thee." In Job 42, starting in verse 7, God rebuked Job's friends. Now, this is the main part of the service. This is what I really want to talk about. Do y'all remember hearing Paul Harvey on the radio? If you're very old, some young people might not, but us older guys do. He always said, "Tell us for the rest of the story." And what I really want to talk about is the rest of the story. The Lord restored everything that Job had. If we look in Job 42:10, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job, and when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." And then in verse 12 it says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. And in 13, he said, he has also 7 sons and 3 daughters. God restored everything to a faithful man who praised him. Got to be honest, when you're going through a trial, it's awful hard to praise God, to thank him for it. The Bible tells us that God does everything for our good, even if we don't understand it. And often we don't understand it. We moved to Utah in 1998, southern Utah, because of the climate. We felt that God wanted us to be there. There was a little mission church that we were going to be helping, and we did help for a while. But you know, I ended up spending 12 years laying in bed. And it was a treat to go out and get my hair cut, just to get out of the house. Now that sounds silly, but that was the way it was. Except that every time I went to get my hair cut, there was some little kid in there who was sneezing. And guess what happened to me when I got home? I was sick. So it got to the point where I really didn't even want to go out of the house, because I didn't want to get sick again. My immune system was so bad that it just wouldn't handle all that. Sometimes Debbie and I would sneak off and go to a restaurant just to get away. And I got to tell you that what that entailed was that I got in my wheelchair, and I had a ramp at my house that I could go down, and I had a wheelchair handicap van. But I had another problem that we found out. We were out over in Colorado in 2003, I believe it was. And we were at a conference in Colorado Springs, and after the conference was over, and it was on fibromyalgia, by the way, after the conference was over, a couple of the ladies said, we'd really like to go up Pike's Peak. You want to go up there with us? Like, sure. You know, it was on the railroad, and you know, I managed to get on there, and of course the railroad goes like this, if you've ever been there. And I got up to the top and I couldn't breathe. I was dying. I could not breathe at all. I had complained to my doctor for a couple of years that something had to be wrong, because if I got a chance to go to church, I couldn't sing because I didn't have enough breath. Well, they took x-rays. I'm a vet, so you know, you understand how the VA works. They took some x-rays and said, oh, there's nothing wrong, you know. So we got back from Colorado, and I was scheduled to have another surgery, and I have acid reflux really bad, and so I would wake up in the middle of the night and my mouth would be full of acid, and that's not good for your throat and everything else that it goes through. And so they were going in, and they did a surgery where they wrapped my stomach around my esophagus and made a knot so that nothing can come up, so I can't have that acid reflux anymore. But while they were doing that, they found that there was a tear in my diaphragm, and my stomach was laying on my left lung, and my lung was totally collapsed. And that's why I had so much trouble up there on the mountain. And they told me that I would never get better from that, that that lung was had been so long that way that it never was going to come back. And so I was on oxygen 24/7. And so whenever we went out, we had to plan to have enough oxygen with us to go. Now, I used liquid oxygen, which came in a big tank, and I could refill the small one off the big tank and just put it over my shoulder, and that would last me about 6 to 7 hours with the little tank. Whenever we traveled, the big tank was on wheels, and Deb would take it down the ramp and into the van and buckle it in, and I'd just have a hose coming off that so I could breathe. So anytime Deb took me out, it wasn't easy. There's another part that wasn't easy. As a man, you know, your wife's doing all the driving, and she has to do the maintenance on the vehicle, and all the things that you normally kind of do as a guy. And when we go to a hotel, she'd have to carry all the luggage because I couldn't. Now, sometimes we would, you know, put a suitcase on my lap or something like that. I had an electric wheelchair so I could make it go. But that was really hard on a man's ego to see his wife have to do everything for him. But I got to tell you, my wife was different than Job's. She never told me to curse God and die. Never. In about 2010, we went to my VA doctor, and she looked at me and she said, "You need to put your affairs in order. You're not going to live a year." And had I continued on that path, I probably wouldn't have. And so I started praying, "God, show me what to do." And I found a clinic, and a group of clinics, and they had one in Las Vegas. We were living in southern Utah at the time. And they, on their website, looked really good. Man, it looked like they could really solve all your problems if you have fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue. And I'd never seen anybody that even suggested that they could help before. And so we went, I went online and I went on their website, and there was a place where people could comment about their experiences with the clinics. And there were 14 clinics, and there were 20,000 patients over time that had gone through the clinic. So we thought that was probably a pretty good idea. Well, I could see their email addresses on there. So I collected about 100 email addresses, and I wrote a letter to them, and I said, "Does this really work?" And you know, most of those people wrote back to me, and they said, "Yes, it does work." The minimum that I saw was, "I'm 65% better than I was." Wow, that's a lot. Now, the clinic never promised that you would be cured, because we don't even know what causes fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue. But they could make my life better. So I told Deb, I said, "I'd like to go." "Well, call them." So I called them, and it was a flat fee of $6,000. Well, as you can guess, after all those years of being sick and stuff, I didn't have $6,000 in the bank. And Deb and I prayed about it, and we said, "What do we do?" And we decided to use the equity in our home. It ended up costing us about $15,000 total because of travel expenses. We would travel to Las Vegas every Wednesday, and I would have a treatment, and then Thursday morning I'd have another treatment, and then go back home. So we had a hotel and meals and everything else, and go back home, and then every week for about 30 weeks we did that. But God made a difference in our life that's just unbelievable. And I got to tell you, I was scheduled to see this lady doctor in this clinic, and right at the last minute, she wasn't available. So he said, "Okay, we'll put you over with this guy doctor." So we sat down the first time with him and talked with him before we even made the decision to go ahead with it. We talked with him. And when I got ready to leave, he said, "Can I pray for you?" How many times have you had a doctor say that? It confirmed to us that God wanted us to do that. Now, at the time I went to this clinic, I had been in a wheelchair for 16 years. I hadn't driven a car in 16 years. I had been in bed for the last 12 years that time. I was on 29 prescriptions. I was taking enough narcotics to kill three of you. every single day. And the worst part about it is it really didn't help the pain. So we said, okay, we're going to do it. And in 2 months, I was driving again. And starting at that time, I had to teach myself how to walk. I didn't even realize it, but I had no muscle tone whatsoever in my legs and stuff. Now, I could get up with help and walk to the bathroom in my suite, my bedroom suite. But I didn't realize I just couldn't walk because I'd laid in bed for so long. And I was drugged up. And so I started teaching myself to walk, and that meant walking down the hall with my hands on the walls, going down to the living room and back. And then I went, but my doctor said, now, I want you to remember one thing. However far you walk, you gotta be able to walk back, so don't overdo it. So I'd walk to the end of our driveway, which was only 20 feet from the house, and back. And then I'd walk to the neighbor's house and back. And pretty soon I was walking all around our community. By the end of 4 months, I had totally parked my wheelchair. And I said, I don't think I need this oxygen anymore. And so I put it away. And the VA just went into hysteria because I stopped using the oxygen, and they made me come. Living in southern Utah, I have to drive to Salt Lake for everything. Well, it's 300 miles one way. So we went up there, and I went in this little chamber that they had, and they were going to test my breathing again. They had done it previously when I had a collapsed lung, and I did 110% of some of the breath that a normal man my age would have. So they agreed that I didn't need to do oxygen anymore. And I weaned myself off all of those drugs with the help of my doctor. And I would call the VA hospital. There was a nurse that was assigned to my doctor, and I'd call her and say, don't send this pill anymore, I'm not using it. Don't send that pill anymore, I'm not using it. Don't send this, until I got down to 3 pills. My blood pressure, my thyroid. I even found out my thyroid medicine was wrong, and they had to change that. So in 5 months, I was off all the drugs. I was like I am now. Actually, I was feeling a little better than that because I hadn't had surgery. I just had surgery on my shoulder, and I'm still having some pain from it. But for the first time in 16 or 18 years, I was pain-free. So we went, I had a regular appointment 2 months later to see my VA doctor in Salt Lake, and so we went up there, and before we went up, the head nurse, her nurse called me, because her nurse had worked with a previous doctor that I had, and then I'd been with this doctor for 10 years, so the nurse had been with me for like 14 years at that point. She said, Jerry, could you come up and come in a half hour early? I want to sit down and talk to you. So I went there early. First time I'd ever walked in that building. And I went up to the desk and I asked for the nurse, and I saw her come out and she walked right by me. I said, whoa, hey, here. She said, I didn't recognize you. Now, when I did this, the first part of this sermon, I had some pictures up that I showed, and where I was in a wheelchair and oxygen, and my skin was white as white could be, and I looked like death warmed over. So I got to share with her what I had done and what had happened to me, and then I went in to see the doctor. And she was totally hostile. I was not following her medical suggestions. and I was doing everything wrong. And I needed my blood pressure and thyroid medicine refilled. She wouldn't even do that. She wanted nothing. She washed her hands of me and said, "You're not going to follow what I have to say, that I'm not going to be your doctor." So I went and found a new VA doctor. God turned our lives around. Now, he replaced Job's physical things. And he didn't do that in our lives. And I'm glad he didn't. But God allowed me to walk and to meet people. And as I suggested in Sunday school, I was always taught, don't talk about yourself because it's bragging, and don't do that, and that's terrible. This young pastor said to me, the one that suggested that I write this story, my life in parallel to Job, he said, "People need to hear your story because it can be encouraging to them." Every day that I'm out in public, I run into people and I share a little bit about my story and I hear them. And I always meet people that have fibromyalgia. Or my aunt has it, or my mom's got it really bad. And I hand them one of my cards that has my website on it. My website gets 40,000 people coming to it every month. Right now, there's about 15,000 people on my email list. I wouldn't have that if I hadn't been sick. And even people that I talk to, you know, if they just order my book from my website and follow it, it doesn't really mean a lot to them. But when they meet me in person and they know that I know what I'm talking about, I'm not trying to sell something to anybody. I'm trying to help them. Now, I spent $15,000 learning how to get better. I sell my book for $15. But it's just like our Christian lives. People that get to know us and know that we understand and we love them, they will want what we have. I had two ladies that came to me within a month's time. Now, both of these ladies were just about 70 years old. They had been housebound for a lot of years. And they, one of them, the husband came, well, both of them, the husbands came with them. We sat down with them and we went over what I knew would help them to get better from fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. And it was interesting. One of the ladies took my book. Well, they're the ones that encouraged me to write. I wrote a workbook. And it's called Steps, and it's step by step how to get better. And they took it from me. As soon as I got it written, they got a copy of it. One of the ladies has been very, very good about passing my books on to other people, but she says, "Oh, it just won't work for me." She's still housebound. She's still sick. The other lady really grabbed a hold of this thing. She hadn't been out of her home for anything other than you have to, like doctor's appointments and stuff, for 20 years. 6 months after she started the program, her husband invited me to go with them to Front Sight, which is a gun club over in Nevada. And I went over there, and their son was there also. And he came up to me and gave me a big hug. He said, "You gave me my mom back." And that lady today, you just absolutely wouldn't recognize her. She is out and about. She's just lost a bunch of weight. She's doing really, really well. So people that I meet, that I share what God's done for me, some of them will accept it. And some of them will use it. But some will say, "It's not for me." I used to get offended. I don't anymore. God tells us in his word that we just need to share his word with other people. But it's up to them whether they accept it, whether they take it, whether they use it. But it is our responsibility to share with them. And it's my responsibility to share with people. Because God brought me through a very hard time. And I praise God for it. I am glad that this happened to me. That sounds really dumb, but I am. God's taking care of us. I was first able to get Social Security, so that helped a very little bit in our income, but that helped. And when we first moved to Utah, Debbie was working, and finally my doctor said, you know, you need somebody with you 24 hours a day. Your wife, you know, having your wife away just is not enough. And I had a nurse coming. I had nursing service coming in for 12 years, 6 days a week. They came in to take care of me, to get me up and to bathe me and to, usually it's redress me back into pajamas and back into bed, you know, was the routine. There were days when I couldn't even get up to get a shower. I just wasn't up to it. But God took all that and used it for his good. And as Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. God restored Job. Now, did he miss his children that died? I'm sure he did. But God replaced it with more children to fill his life. And he replaced his earthly things. Well, he hasn't replaced the earthly things, but I wouldn't want him to. We had the freedom, because of my VA disability checks every month, that we spent 4 years traveling just telling people of what Jesus did for me. How do you share with your life with people? Do they know that you're a Christian? By your actions, by where you're at, by what you do? Do you influence people for Christ? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this day, for this opportunity to be here. I thank you that you are watching over us and caring for us. Be with us now as we go out, that we can show your love to others in our everyday life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.